Okay, this multiple part conversation with a featured guest, Jean-Claude Coven, Going Deeper is the book, How to Make Sense of Your Life When Your Life Makes No Sense. Part of this all engaging material is like finding brothers, you call them wanderers, brothers and sisters, these people who are starting to awaken from the illusion of who they think they are to who they really are. You spoke on earlier about the 70 million wanderers description that you went deeply into. I don't want to go there, just that these people are seeded into the earth plane in a way to help people wake up, but they have to go through the same veils that a soul goes through in an incarnation. And there's a challenge right now for waking these people up, as well as other human beings possibly. And you were talking about you know, this aspect of letting go and surrender to what needs to happen to awaken. Talk a little more about that, if you would. You know, what's the best thing that somebody can do right now? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Wanderers come through the veil just like every other human being comes through the veil.
Mm-hmm.
They had assumed that coming from the sixth density would make rising out of the illusion a piece of cake.
Mm-hmm.
And turns out it wasn't at all. The wanderers, as you said, are subject to everything and every emotion and every trait that a human has, and in fact is totally human. There is no human down here, even at the lowest possible level of human awareness in the third density, that doesn't have with them at all times their sixth density self.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that one being is any higher than another, because that's absolute nonsense. We are all part of the all that is. Where people viewing creation from the point of view of individual religions and teachings come a cropper is that they tend to view God as the creator noun.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a very limiting perception. It's a comfortable perception, but it's a limiting one.
Mm-hmm.
If they would flip and view God rather, in the Buckminster Fuller terms, of viewing God as a verb, not God as the creator, but as the unfoldment of creation itself, you begin to realize that God is not in all things, that God is all things,
mm-hmm.
that there is nothing in creation, no matter how small or seemingly insignificant, no matter whether manifest or still in potential, that is not part of the all that is.
Mm-hmm.
That we not only spring from the one, we all are the one. And you wake up when you truly get this at the level of your heart, not your mind, into realizing that the other self, the other beings on this planet, you no longer say there, but for the grace of God, go I. You say, there by the grace of God am I. That other being is you. With that awakening spreads across the planet, there's nothing that has to be changed anymore. Everything else falls away.
Mm-hmm.
If we keep moving to our institutions and attempt to tweak them and fix them or change them, then what we do is we continually abdicate our own personal power and our own personal role as co-creators. This is no longer a collective action.
Mm-hmm.
We see the result of myopic institutions. They don't need to be changed. They serve their purpose beautifully. They were very rich within the illusion. Bless every one of them and move to a higher game.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I say that the conspiracy theory is irrelevant.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter whether it's true or not. There's part in the book that deals with it that gave some very, very interesting information on the death of John Lennon.
Mm-hmm.
Which kind of blew me away.
Mm-hmm.
I had no knowledge of that.
Mm-hmm.
And just to dip into it so that people can realize that, yes, they can go into the Akashic. Yes, they can get answers to all of these questions. But who cares? At the point at which you're able to do that, you're no longer concerned about that level of inquiry.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well... Let me do one more thing here. Well, maybe two more things here.
Okay.
the maybe the most significant chapter. I mean, I hate to say what's more significant, but I remember reading chapter 7, The State of the Planet Earth. Many of us have an inkling of some of the intense things that are going on that are out of balance. Some don't. Some know and they don't care. But I read these things, and I just wanted to go through and mention some of them with you, kind of like the two-minute drill that's done in football, you know, towards the end of the game, and just to briefly mention these. And if you have any commentary on any of the things here that you want to speak about, you go ahead. But this all takes place with Larry, the primary character, addressing the Council of Nine in the book, and he's giving an address on the state of the planet, which I thought was an interesting twist, you know. So, and are these factual pieces here from your research, or was it just downloaded as you wrote the book, you know, like 1.2 billion around the world live on less than a dollar per day, 30,000 children die each day of starvation. I mean, that's an outrageous number. You don't, you know, most people don't know that 30,000 children are dying each day.
So they don't know. They don't want to know. And it's so, when you take this in its totality, it's so incredibly uncomfortable that the only Linus blanket we have are the Super Bowls and the Oscars. And what we do is we disappear into trivia because we don't know how to deal with the enormity of what we've created. When you take all of this and lay it out in front of you, I wept.
Yeah,
I wept for weeks as this chapter was being written, and it just tore me apart.
Yeah.
And a voice came to me and said, Jean-Claude, okay, thank you. You've done your bit now. Get to work.
Well,
that's what spurs me. This is not about book sales. It's not about making the book successful. To me, it's devoting the rest of my life into taking the level of this message and the energy of this message out to the entire planet.
Mm-hmm.
I sincerely meant it when I told you that story before we went on the air, that when I got up in front of a group of 125 people and I announced that the entire fate of the planet depended on me.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course I realize that that's ridiculous and it's hyperbole, but I'm going to act as if it did. And if I truly believe that, and I believe that that's true for every other individual on the planet, then my God, what a motivator that is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need help to get up every day and get to work.
Mm-hmm.
This is a passion for me to get this message out and to share this information with everyone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I applaud you for doing this. I feel like, as we said even before we started the interview, to create some synergy and mutual support for some of the things you're saying. I mean, another statistic here, the rainforest is being destroyed at the rate of 214,000 acres per day.
Per day.
Per day. That's an area larger than New York City, you point out. I mean, that's you talk about species extinction dying off thousand times faster than the natural rate. As many as 137 species disappear from the earth each day, 50,000 a year. I mean, with all, and I could go on, there's more. I mean, we know global warming now is scientifically proven. We are toxifying the soil with growing chemicals, even though some people are going organic, thank God, you know.
But the soil is depleted of minerals. Even if we grow organically, we can't get what we need from the soil anymore. What we've done is beyond, it's unspeakable.
Mm-hmm.
America still hasn't bellied up to the bar in Kyoto, only because Putin signed it. I think it's now due to 90, I think it's there's 90 days, sometime in April of 2005, it'll become somewhat law for certain countries that want to abide. But the problem is right now that the major portion of global warming, from what I am being told, is no longer being contributed by humans. It has to do with the fact that we're going through this shift right now,
uh-huh.
and moving through this band of extreme consciousness within the galaxy. So what man has done, we have passed as far as we can see the ecological Rubicon. There's no turning back. There's no fixing it.
Uh-huh.
Being dismayed about it is not going to work. The only thing that will work right now is shifting the consciousness of the individual.
Mm-hmm.
There are others who believe otherwise. And the last thing that I ever ask anyone to do is to agree with me.
Yeah.
I don't want that at all.
Well,
I just want to present another point of view
mm-hmm.
that for some reason has been shouted out or has been just buried all of these years
mm-hmm.
and needs to be looked at.
Yeah.
For some people it would be real, for others it would be very uncomfortable, and they let it go, and it's all perfectly fine.
Yeah. Well, as you said earlier, shifting and expanding the consciousness of the individual, whether it's you or I or other people, there's something that's happening, and we know we don't fit, and we are awakening up to our loving nature, our unified field. We're out of polarization. We don't want to be violent with other people. We don't certainly want to fight. What's going to happen? What's going to happen in the individual, and the significance of one person making a shift affecting another person making the shift in consciousness? What would happen based on the information that has been delivered to you in the next, it's not even a new millennium thing now. The 2012, give or take, as a point of reference, the Earth and the solar system and galaxy moving through consciousness, changing parts of the universe. What will happen?
Well, I'm getting feedback now from people reading the book.
Mm-hmm.
And they're telling me each with a unique story about how their life has abruptly shifted into a different realm of being.
Mm-hmm.
And they're seeing things in a new way. I had a wonderful story happen to me when I was in the Army in basic training. We were taken on a march. We were given gas masks, and we were being walked to God knows where. And all of a sudden, they gassed us. No one told us how to use the gas masks.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody was running in every which direction. I held my breath and watched everybody run in every which direction. And I saw the lieutenant standing on a little hill, and I walked up next to him, and I just stood and watched. And he said to me, "Colvin, what do you think you're doing?" And I looked at him. I said, "Standing 2 feet upwind from the gas canisters, sir." And he said, "You can't do that. This is a gas attack." And I wasn't trying to be smart. I turned to him. I said, "Sir, it appears I just have." And I didn't mean to be a wise guy by saying it, but I realized that no matter what the gas attack is, no matter what the situation is, there's always a point of perspective 2 feet upwind from it.
Mm-hmm.
When I wrote this, I was not 2 feet upwind from it. When this writing came through me at the time, talking about this incredible list of things that are going on the planet, and I was in tears. And I have since been moved to a point 2 feet upwind from all of these terrible things that are going on. And I look at them and say, my God, how incredibly perfect.
Yeah.
We're now at the point where people are in sufficient despair. They've reached compression, and they're ready to move.
Yeah. Well, we're out of time here, and I want to thank you so much for this conversation, these multiple conversations. Going deeper is the central point of a book, as well as imploration for you, all of our listeners, to go deeper. How to Make Sense of Your Life When Your Life Makes No Sense. The subtitle: Jean-Claude Colvin, the author. The website is goingdeeper.org. It is available at bookstores and amazon.com, and I look forward to more conversations with you.
Alan, an absolute pleasure and a privilege to be with you.